Bethlehem, there's joy. Bethlehem, from California to New York, from the redwood forest and up stream water, this land was made for you and me.
Welcome, everybody, to The People Speak. This is a live one-hour radio show bringing guests from many organizations and fields of interest from all over the nation, all sharing their knowledge with our audience, who can ask questions right here on the mic, here in our virtual auditorium. Our broadcasts emanate from Pal Talk, the world's largest internet chat community, and we are broadcasting over CWRN, Cosmic Waves Radio Network. Our guest tonight is the winner of the Grammy Award and many NAMI Awards, which is the Native American Music Award, for her compositions and performance on Native flute. We're going to be starting out with one of Mary's songs, and this particular piece is called Dance with the Wind from the album of the same name, Dance with the Wind. We'll be back shortly. Go ahead.
Won't you dance with me? Dance with me. I'll show you how to feel free. Lean towards the mother, let her comfort you.
Welcome back to The People Speak. And tonight we're speaking with Mary Youngblood, the woman that you just heard. Mary, welcome to our show. The audience would love to hear from you. And that song was absolutely beautiful.
And thank you.
Most welcome. What was your inspiration behind that song, Mary?
Well, there were a series of storms that came through Northern California this winter, and it was kind of a winter for me. We all go through times that are darker than others, perhaps, and I know that everyone can relate to those times. And I was a new empty nester. I'd ended a relationship. I had big changes in my managerial staff, and it just was a challenging year, and I was kind of feeling sorry for myself, but I always look to nature to help me through these times. And I was watching the trees in my backyard and thinking, wow, I sure wouldn't want to be a tree right now. It was so tumultuous, and the wind was whisking about, and there was hail, and I thought about being a tree and being rooted in the ground and being at the mercy of the elements. And as much as I have an affinity towards trees, as I like to think that I help make the trees sing, I was not envying my leafed friends at that time. And I was looking up, and I noticed that the trees were synchronistically moving with the wind. There was this dance going on, and perhaps the trees were not at the mercy of the elements, as I had kind of assumed, because I was in not the best place myself. And I was watching, thinking, how can I be more like a tree? How can I, go through life's ups and downs in a way that's with joy and peace and serenity, even though sometimes those times are difficult? And then to live your dreams. It was a reminder of my own struggles as a young musician and having aspirations and dreams, and, seek your dreams like you've lived them before. I think that was part of the secret of making that happen. I envisioned a lot of things that came to fruition. And so a lot of it was a reminder for me, a gentle reminder of how to live more in the moment, how to go with the flow, how to seek the things worth searching for in my own life and in my own journey. And so that was a message pretty much to myself, to remind myself that I can get through the storms with grace.
Which of your songs was the one that won the Grammy?
Beneath the Raven Moon, which was my third release.
I see.
In 2002.
How excited were you then?
It was pretty surreal. It was very surreal. The whole trip to New York and the whole experience was amazing and very memorable.
Well, Mary, we are posting your site in the virtual auditorium, and you're getting rave reviews on the song and on everything.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, talk to a lot of people understand that, the history of Native music has a very spiritual connotation to it. What are your personal philosophies on your attachment to Native American music?
I think that Native music is always in transition and morphing and changing. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of any genre of music. I think the spirituality comes from a really deep sense of connection with the earth and mother, which a lot of us have. We all have that capability, but we do tend to see indigenous peoples as being a little closer to those elements. I think we're closer to it culturally. For me, it's a great source of inspiration. Obviously, making my metaphor and my message through my relationship with trees and the elements and storm and water and all the things that happen during a storm. So it's been very important to me, and I think it tends to be a foundation for a lot of Native music. And the spiritual connotation kind of comes from just what I just mentioned, that it seems as though indigenous peoples are close to of things of nature and of the Mother Earth.
You know, Mary, during the last couple of days while I was doing some research and talking to a lot of the First Nation or American Native Americans here on Pal Talk and in other areas, there were a lot of concerns about certain aspects of the culture, such as the languages themselves. A lot of people believe that many of the races, the native races are dying out, that the languages are dying out. And I, for one, understand the nature of cultural language and the association with music. And, you know, the quote is, music is universal language. But in the tradition of Native American language, being so spiritual, is it not something more personal to the people of the First Nation?
I think it's becoming more important. I know that my nation, the Aleut people, now have their language on DVD, or excuse me, CD, and I'm really anxious to try to get one. My mother, my birth mother, was sent away to government school, and she was very young and was hit with rulers if she spoke her language. So, taking away a people's language is very pertinent to their cultural survival. And I think that we as First Nations people are recognize this, and we are trying to bring the languages back, and we know how important they are to our people and to sustain our culture and traditions, and even the morphing and changing of those traditions. So it's very, very important, and I'm thrilled to see that more and more nations and tribes are putting their efforts into maintaining those cultural base via language. So I think it's coming back, and I think a lot of nations are implementing those programs for their kids.
Well, as far as the music goes, Mary, you know, and the fact that, as I said, a lot of people had definitely expressed concern about it, what they called a dying language. Do you see that your music and your words and the spiritual base behind them is sort of an act of preservation for the culture?
I think eventually when, as a songwriter, as I learn the language, I can really foresee utilizing it a lot more and implementing it in my repertoire and in my songwriting. At this time, because it is my mother, who, if she were alive, would be in her mid-70s, has forgotten her language, I'm having to go back to, you know, CDs to learn it. It's different than hearing it spoken every day. But I do see it being an important part of my input as a musician and as an Aleut woman and as a native woman to try to implement verbiage and words, Aleutic words, into my songwriting. I think that would be very important and is something I look forward to.
Well, that's great. You know, talk to us about something that I think is probably one of the most sensual instruments in the world. Talk to us about your flutes.
Well, for some nations, it was not traditional for women to play this instrument. If you were Plains Indian or Southwest Indian, this instrument was used for courting and primarily by men. Now, if you were to walk into a Cherokee village 500 years ago, you may be greeted by 100 flute players, men, women, and children. So it really, really depended on your nation. And at the beginning of my career, I was criticized somewhat for playing the instrument, being that in some nations it was considered taboo or considered something that only men did. So it's been quite a journey. I feel so much more embraced by Indian country for having played the flute and you know, my career as a musician. But there were times when it was considered questionable.
Well, I can understand that. My father-in-law was a shepherd back in Palestine, and I know that there's quite an affinity between many Palestinians and the First Nation people because of our similar struggles. Well, first of all, we are honored by the First Nation being on our side, so I thank you all for that. What I'd like, the issue of the flute itself is, what is the spiritual connotations? I know that the evocation of breath and sound throughout all spiritual religions and belief systems is very powerful. Is it? I'm assuming that it follows in suit with that.
Interestingly enough, the historians that have studied the Native American flute will tell us that very few nations used the Native American flute in any spiritual or sacred manner. It was a social instrument, although a few nations have definitely used the flute in more of a spiritual manner, and that has been discussed among those historians as possibly being the Hopi and Anasazi people, and there may be a few other nations where it was used in a little bit more serious manner. But though the historians that have delved into this subject will tell us that it was used primarily in a social realm and used in courting, of course, for those nations, the Plains Indians and the Southwest Natives. So it has become a little bit more spiritual in people's definition, and when they think of the Native flute, it conjures up a mystical, romantic, and definitely a heartfelt sound that we all just gravitate towards. One of my flute makers writes in his books that the Native flute affects our alpha state, so it's the sound waves that affect our body. And there's that Japanese doctor who has studied sound and music, and there's correlations between sound waves and how it affects us as people that are made mainly of water. So it's interesting, and it may continue to be a subject that is studied and kind of draws a lot of attention. But the spiritual aspect of it is probably at its height now, as people are finding that and discovering that this instrument has such beautiful, haunting, and healing properties to it.
Well, you know, as a spiritualist and as an energy healer myself, I know exactly what you're talking about, and there are blind studies being currently done in all of the major universities throughout the world right now. So hopefully soon we'll be able to hear a lot more. I'd like to ask you a little bit more about the types of flutes that you play, how many you have.
Okay.
That type of thing before we go into your next song, because we really want everybody to hear your next song as well.
I have probably close to 250 flutes.
Wow.
A handful of those are in pitch and are instruments that I use in recording and performance. Maybe 25 to 50 of those are in pitch. And then there's a handful that are just the creme de la creme that I use to travel with and record with. Most of them are Plains Indian-style flutes. I prefer six-hole flutes. They come in different scales. A pentatonic scale is more of a native scale. Its foundation is actually Asiatic. And a diatonic scale is more European. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. So they're very different kinds of sounds, and of course most are wood, and various kinds of woods. The size of the instrument denotes the key and pitch. So the smaller the vessel, the higher the sound. The lower and larger the vessel, the deeper the sound. I've got all keys that you can imagine. They all have their own personalities, their own temperament. They're amazing, and they all have their gifts of song. So it's the Native flute is quite an interesting instrument.
Well, I absolutely love that. I find that many times people, especially like I said, you know, some of the flute players that I've met in my life, have always had this this love. You know, this almost, it's a deep-rooted love, and the tones are very important, especially when you're dealing with spirituality.
Yes.
Throughout the spiritual realms, The different tones, the death tones, are very grounding into the earth, and that kind of, and as you ascend into the higher realms, you ascend into the higher tones. And you're right about the flute. It is the American Indian flute. It is very haunting sometimes, and it's almost intoxicating when you listen to it.
Yes, it is.
You know, we're going to play another of Mary's songs now. So everybody get ready. This particular song is again from her album. Let me see. Dance with the Wind. And this song is called Misty Rain. Everybody, we are here with Mary Youngblood, and that song was from Mary's album, Dance with the Wind, and this was titled Misty Rain. That was absolutely breathtaking. It's that kind of haunting sound that a lot of people have come to equate with the Native American flutes, Mary, but I've also noticed in some of your music, as I was listening, a more modernistic twist to it. Was that something that you work on? Are you working towards getting more back to your roots, so to speak, or incorporating that kind of thing in the music?
I think I'm primarily a melodist. I'm always looking for sweet melodies. I think that comes from my classical background, as well as my love for old music scores and movie scores. I'm a huge fan of Turner Classic movies, and I pay attention to music and to scores, and I love musicals. So I think I'm always looking for that hook of a sweet melody, and I don't think it really has any cultural connotations at all. It pretty much comes from within me as a composer and songwriter to just desire beautiful little hooks and sweet melodies.
Well, it's beautiful. You've done a remarkable job in incorporating it. And I guess when you said that, I can get a little hint of that old musical style in there in a couple of your songs. Wonderful job. You know, this is now down to the nitty-gritty as a human being coming from the First Nation people. I can't imagine that in your position as a songwriter, as a vocalist, as a musician, that you are not drawn into the political arena in many occasions. and as it should be, I think that, and I know that there are a lot of issues that the First Nation people, the Native American people, have, issues with the current administration, environmental issues, poverty among the natives. The fact that the Native American people are 500, and this I was only made aware of this today, 500% at more at risk for not being counted in the vote. I just found that to be amazing. Talk to me about that. What do you think?
I think a lot of that stems back from not really trusting the powers that be, not trusting. A lot of that comes from our choice not to be counted, not to want any to draw attention. A lot of our elders and my parents' generation, you didn't want to be counted. You wanted to remain in the background and be the silent minority with issues like federal recognition, Indian gaming. A lot of those kinds of ideas are changing as we need to have a presence and have a voice. And I think that is morphing and changing as well, a very important point. And yes, you can't help but be drawn into some of the political issues, and just from having a heart that wants to save this mother and this planet, I find myself drawn to, you know, really promoting organic gardening and things like that, where the things we put in our body are healthy and from the earth and pure. So, sure, I mean, I think that we can't help but, you know, be drawn into that, as a lot of nations believe that they are caretakers of the earth. The long-standing belief in tradition and culture that it is our responsibility, as it is everyone's responsibility, to take care of the mother and to take care of the earth. And we do tend to remind people of that because it's so strong in our belief system, in our spiritual and traditional belief systems, that responsibility, that accountability for the mother and for the earth and for each other. So, very good point.
Well, thank you. And I'm being bombarded with a message for you, Mary. From our virtual chat room, Brad Young, one of your flute makers, says hi, and that he's sorry that he can't be here with you.
Well, hi, Brad.
So I had to break up for that.
Great.
But it was very important. But yeah, you know, so you, let me ask you, Mary, which brings it, you know, when you brought up the issue of the organic gardening and you know, this powerful connection to the earth and everything in every way, shape, and form that is native, how can we account as American citizens here for the depleted areas that the reservations are always placed in? I mean, these places, they can barely sustain rocks, let alone plant life or organic farming or anything like that. Is there anything that's being done that you're aware of that can change that and offer them a richer soil, a richer land that they can actually profit by some reason?
I would say getting involved at the community level is really something that we all can do to promote, you know, more healthy living and make our representatives accountable. I listen to the Sacramento City Council meeting sometimes on Tuesdays, and it's like all of a sudden hours go by, and it's fascinating to kind of get an idea of what's happening in my own community, getting involved on the community level. Of course, with reservations, that's another whole issue. They put us in horrid places that no one else wanted to go to. And so until they found titanium there or something like that. So we have issues that are, you know, very individualistic depending on your nation and your tribe and what's going on politically in your area with your state. And then, of course, there's the whole federal level. I think it's complex. I think that it's going to take a long time to change things around. I think we're going to have to quit being apathetic as human beings and be more proactive in on a community level, and that's really all you can do. I mean, to some extent. I mean, if you're wanting to get involved, find out what's happening on a local level, and that's part of, you know, if everyone did that, we would have a, you know, more healthy planet. And I think things are turning around. We're getting frightened. We're becoming more aware that have not always been in the loop in terms of information, and that we're going to have to be accountable and responsible in order for things to change. And that's the good news.
Well, you know, Mary, our producer, Mike, when he had spoken to you, I guess you had mentioned to him something about the Bush administration trying to somehow steal a great deal of money and funding for American Indian issues. Can you elaborate on that?
That was on the state level. At the beginning of the Schwarzenegger administration, he had wanted to take a bigger piece of the Indian gaming pie to help get California out of debt, and a lot of the local native tribes, you know, rebuked that, and of course that did not happen. You know, it hasn't to the levels, you know, that could be dangerous, but you know, that I think that in gaming issues is a whole other ball game, and is very complex. So, and it is still unfolding. We don't know where it's going.
How do you feel about the gaming issue?
I'm kind of ambivalent about Indian gaming. I'm concerned for our people on a spiritual level of how this will affect us. It's wonderful to see so many nations doing so many good things with the monies. Other nations perhaps are not following suit, but I know for a fact that many nations are putting that money back into their community, back into health care and education. And so it certainly is more complex than just saying I'm against it or for it. There are issues on both sides of that are compelling and important, and certainly we're in the mix of all of this, and it's continuing to morph and change daily, on a daily basis. And again, there are so many nations in this country. We can't just, you know, focus on one tribe or what they are or are not doing in terms of giving back to community and how it's helping sustain culture.
you know, my husband, we were driving by a casino, one of the newer Indian casinos up in the upper part of Michigan. And he laughed, and I said, "What are you laughing at?" And he says, "By God, I think the Indians are going to take this land back anyway. They're going to win it back."
Well, a lot of us believe you can't own the land, and that's been the silliness of it all in the first place.
Absolutely.
How you own the land, you know, it's its own entity and spirit. You can't own it, but right, that mentality exists out there that... Maybe there's a little turnaround there.
A little bit of, that's very
poetic,
interesting.
Poetic justice, perhaps.
Absolutely. We've come to this segment of our show that we're going to give, we have a giveaway. And let's see, what is our prize tonight? I don't even know. We have, oh, okay. We've got, here it is. It's a CD of Mary Youngblood's album, Dance with the Wind, which you've been hearing selections from throughout the show. If you'd like to participate in this part of the show, please join us here in the People Speak Room on PalTalk, www.paltalk.com. Okay, everybody, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask a question, and the third person to type in the correct answer to the following question is our winner. And you'll contact Mesta, and you can give her all of your information so she can get the CD to you. Now, here it is. Is everybody ready? In what state currently does our guest, Mary Youngblood, reside?
Do, 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 do. Too bad I don't have my flute. I could play that for you.
That would have been wonderful. I think a lot of people were really hoping that you would have a flute. Do we have a now? We'll announce the winner in a couple of minutes. I'm going to let them, all of the admins in the room, figure all of that out. Okay.
There's a few little notes for you.
Wonderful. Oh, my God. Clap, clap, clap. Thank you. Oh, everybody's so excited in the room. This is really great.
That's a little Hawk Little John flute.
That is absolutely wonderful.
That Hawk put on there. On the side, it says, Mary Wild Thing Youngblood. Thank you, Hawk, brother.
Okay, we are going to take a break, and as soon as we come back, we'll announce the winner, and we'll get into our audience participation. A lot of hands are here and already up, Mary, and they're really excited about asking you some questions here. And I would like to thank Carrie Minaj, who is our technical advisor here, and... That was for you, Carrie. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who are forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody, with Mary Youngblood here on Pal Talk, www.paltalk.com. and you can join us in our virtual audience and speak and interact with our guests that are here every week. Mary Youngblood is a Grammy Award winner and winner of several Native American awards known as the NAMMYs. If you have a microphone, raise your hand. And for those of you that are listening to this broadcast over the net, again, join us in the People Speak Auditorium in the Social Issues category of Government and Politics. And I'm telling you, it's a gas. We have a lot of fun here, and we'll have a lot of interesting people. Mary, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, do we have a winner, guys? Who's our winner? Somebody pop it in the room. Who is our winner? I guess they don't have a winner yet. The only... Ah! Ariadne? Or Ariadne. Congratulations, Ariadne. You can... Okay, Ariadne Arcane. Arachne. Arachne. Oh, the spider arachne. That's interesting. I don't like spiders very much.
Grandmother spider.
I know, is that what it is?
Grandmother. Well, you know, the spider teaches us many things, many wonderful skills.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mary, this is the time when we're going to be asking our audience to come up and ask you questions. Our first audience member is Anidawi Waya. And Anidawi, could you come to the mic? Please give us your first name and where you're calling from and a brief question for Mary Youngblood. Anidawi?
My first name is Shauna. I'm from Mississippi. My question for Mary is, does she know that she inspired others to play the flute?
Oh, well, I'm really glad to hear that. I do hear stories of people being interested in playing the flute after hearing me, and it's to know that someone else has discovered this magical instrument. So... thank you. Kwayana, as we say in my language, Kwayana.
Well, I guess there's a young person in the virtual auditorium that's green-eyed smiling that says she was inspired by you too, Mary. Our next question is Dennis the Menace. Dennis, please come to the mic and give us your first name, where you're calling from, and your question for Mary.
Well, my first name is Dennis, and I'm from Orlando, Florida. And I'm a musician myself, and I listen to a wide variety of music. I was hoping to find out what's in your CD player or on your iPod right now, Mary. Thank you for the time you're giving us to speak with you, too. Thank you.
Well, Kwayana, thank you. What is in my turntable? You'd be very surprised. I think on the turntable right now is James Taylor. Let's see. I've got Ella Fitzgerald, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Papa Roach. I love B.B. King and Eric Clapton, Riding with the King. I love the blues. So I've got quite a... Van Morrison is in my CD changer right now. So I've got quite an array of music. I love the blues, and I love James Taylor. I go back to those old ballads and folk ballads from the 60s and 70s that were really inspired by listening to a lot of JT. I also like Acoustic Alchemy. I love guitar work, Strums and Farah, Behzad, and I've discovered a new guitar player and singer from... Zimbabwe, Oliver Mutukunzi, I think is his name. So I love world music. Anything tickles me to death, but I really am enjoying listening and learning a lot of world music lately. So quite an array of music that I listen to.
Well, I guess you got a lot of fans on that one. We had people all over the room with their thumbs up doing it. That was great. They like your taste in music, Mary. Our next audience participant is Henry Morgan. Henry, please come to the mic. Tell us your first name, where you're calling from, and your question for Mary.
Thank you. Thank you, Basima. I think I pronounced it right that time.
Yes, you did.
Great music, Mary. Very beautiful, very soothing. My two questions are, number one, hang on. How long have you been performing music, number one? And number two, who are your musical influences? Thank you.
My first performance was at the age of six at a piano recital. I think from then on it was fourth grade in choir, classical flute, guitar. I've been performing professionally for the last maybe 10, 12, 15 years, around in there. And influences, again, back to ballads and Peter, Paul, and Mary, Buffy St. Marie, James Taylor. I love old ballads. And as I've grown as a musician, my musical tastes have grown. And I'm, you know, listening to a lot more jazz and blues and just kind of exploring it all. It's such a wonderland out there of music. And a lot of influence came from listening to big band music. When my grandmother would have her friends over, they would sew. This was during the tail end of the Vietnam War, and they would sew, and there'd be maybe eight sewing machines humming in her basement, and big band, Nat King Cole, you know, K-Star, Frank Sinatra on the radio. So a lot of early influence came from listening to big band and, of course, classical music. And as I grew, the folk era kind of hit. And as a young songwriter, I was really inspired by a lot of those old ballads. So inspiration comes from an array of sources.
Very good. Thank you. We're going to be, before our next audience question, Mary, we're going to be taking a short break. And it'll just take a minute. We'll be right back with you. And Cherokee, I haven't forgotten you, sweetie.
Pal Talk is the largest and most popular internet chat community in the world, with over 39 million registered users worldwide. There are approximately 4 million active users and between 30 and 70,000 people using Pal Talk at any given time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Pal Talk support staff cover 32 basic languages and countless dialects. Pal Talk is pretty much comparable to any major city in the world, the virtual online equivalent of a global community.
Thank you. Welcome back. Our next audience participant is Cherokee Indian, spelled N-D-N. We become very creative here on Pal Talk with nicknames. Cherokee is my new best friend. I met her today, and she helped me to understand a number of things about the issues surrounding the Native Americans. Cherokee, could you please come to the mic, give us your first name and where you're calling from, and your question for Mary Youngblood.
Now, I'm male instead of female. Hi, Mary, this is Steve from Oklahoma. I just wanted to say you're still my idol, and I want everyone to know that Mary is a very kind-hearted and giving person. And I'm still working on the project that you helped me with, and I'll be in touch with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, sorry, Cherokee, I didn't realize that you were a male, but and now you're really my best friend. I flirt with everybody here. Mary, you'll have to get used to it. Our next question is coming from Singing Eagle. Singing, and aren't these names amazing? Aren't they just the most beautiful names? Singing Eagle, please come to the mic. Give us your first name and where you're calling from and your question for Mary.
Well, My name is Lendl. I'm from Virginia, and Singing Eagle in Cherokee is my given name, Donnie Nojiska Awahale. Mary, I too am an artist of 33 years, singer, songwriter, guitarist. I was introduced to the Native American flute a little over a year ago, walking the Red Road. I own five of Brad Young's flutes. I'm curious to know what key that your, what is your favorite key of flute, and what wood is your wood of preference in your flutes? Thank you very much.
Well, I think my favorite key is probably A, and I love African walnut. I love the hardwood. It's really conducive for a nice tonal quality, and they don't water out quite as fast, and I can really push it. I can push a flute that it's a real hard wood. Seems like I can really push it. I like volume as well. So I also love the key of E, but I think my favorite would have to be A. A.
Well, thank you.
Some more Indian humor there for you.
Thank you very much. Singing Eagle, and thank you, Mary. Mesta Chinagas, who is also our part of our web staff that is designing our website, and an admin in this room, and an honored guest, has a question for you. Mesta, please come to the mic. Give us your first name, where you're calling from, and your question for Ms. Youngblood.
Hello, Mary. It's so nice to have you here with us. My name is Tachinagas, means it's Cree, and it means little wolf. Anyway, Tanzi to you, Mary. Mary, I'm curious to understand your perspective on one issue, and this issue will it be necessary for us to have a revolution in ideology to stop the strangling of Mother Earth? Thank you, Mary.
Let's see. I think that people are getting fed up with misinformation and feeling like they're not getting the whole picture. And revolution, that's interesting. I'm thinking of a song, I can't think of her name now, Tracy Chapman, about a revolution. And the word's been, tossed around for centuries, and it doesn't matter what empire, what culture, what country, we hear that word. I think that that's kind of a grassroots word for being fed up with it and, realizing that change has to happen. Will it take a revolution? It might. Let's see how the next few years pan out in terms of administration. Maybe things will turn around, but I think people are getting pretty fed up and are mistrusting. And it just might take folks to rear up and say, I'm not taking this anymore. That's a good question, and I'm not really sure of the answers to that yet. I'm watching what's happening in the world and in my own community and in this country, and kind of absorbing it and, again, thinking back to what can I do to make a difference? Can I get involved in my community, whether it's the Indian community, yes, and that's NDN community, and as the human being race and trying to save this planet. So that's a very good question, and I'm not sure what it will take to change things around.
Thank you, Mary. And again, yeah, that's a very powerful question. I don't think anybody really has the answers, Mesta. It's very, very interesting. Our next audience participant is Green Eyes Smiling. Green Eyes had earlier put into the text that you had inspired her. And Green Eyes, could you please come to the mic, give us your first name, where you're calling from, and your question for Mary Youngblood.
Hi, thank you. My name is Debbie, and I'm from Indiana. And you have inspired so many people with your beautiful, beautiful music. And you make people want to play the flute, and you make them want to listen. And I was just wondering if you ever have plans to come to the Idle Jorg during market days and be a guest there.
Well, that sounds wonderful. You just never know. you know, we're working on getting booking and tours together for this upcoming year. And I would just say that if I am coming to your area, just keep a lookout on my schedule at www.maryyoungblood.net. And there's also a Yahoo listserv, Mary Youngblood Circles, that oftentimes will post when I'm coming to a certain area. So that's my only advice for, you know, for a possible performance, but I would love to come there. It's a great venue, and you just never know. Maybe someday down the road I'll be there.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Green Eyes Smiling. Our next question is from Wiley, _1. Wiley, please come to the mic. Give us your first name, where you're calling from, and your question for Mary Youngblood.
Thank you for the opportunity. My name's Robin, and I'm from Pennsylvania. My question to Mary is, I really would love to play flute. I've tried, and it doesn't sound like the beautiful music she plays. What would be her suggestion for me to play the flute like she does?
Well, you probably want to find a good flute maker. It might be that you have a flute that's not quite up to a musician's quality or something that's going to sound right to your ears. On the MaryYoungblood.net site, I will be having a list of flute makers that I endorse or that I use their flutes to record with or to perform with. another good indication is on the albums. On every album that I've done, I will list usually the key, at least the key in the flute. The last few years, I have been putting the flute makers on in the liner notes. So if you hear a certain song that you like with a certain flute with this intonation that you desire or appreciate, you might check out that flute maker's website. And there will usually be, if you Google them, you can find them. So that would be my suggestion, to find a good instrument, number one. And then there are books out there to teach. I have some other folks have wonderful teaching books on the native flute to teach you scales and skills, techniques, embellishments, all the things that you need to start. And also you might search for a flute circle in your area. And there are flute circles all over the United States. And I think, let me think, whereabouts in Pennsylvania are you?
She can't respond to you, Mary.
Okay. She might look, and there might be a flute circle in Pennsylvania. I know that Jim Beer in the River is a band out of Allentown, and Jim Thorpe area. There's a flute player in their band. I would say if your intention is to find other people who play, who can help teach you, put it out there to the universe, to Creator, and hopefully the people will come to you to teach you. Things will come that will help you and assist you on your journey. I really believe that find the dreams worth searching for. So if you put your intention out there, that it will come, that if you have a natural desire to play this instrument, to seek out people who love it, who will help teach you and guide you. And I bet you just run into people now that you're on this journey. And oftentimes flute people will say that, just that, that once they started playing the flute and they were on this journey of seeking out other people who loved it, it just came and everything fell into place.
Well, thank you, Mary. I love that. You are so in tune with intention and the way the universe works. A lot more of us should learn about that. Our next audience participant is Little Singing Sparrow. Please come to the mic, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question for Mary Youngblood.
Hi there. My name is Mandy. I am from Michigan, And I guess I'm kind of backing up my question with a statement. Did you know I am a healing touch practitioner, and your music has touched many of the people that have been in hospitals suffering with, you know, just horrible things going on in the world. And as a healer, I guess I just want to thank you for your music. And I'm also a musician, and I play the flute. And I guess, did you know that you've touched many lives in the world? And thank you for doing that. And, you know, the healers all over the world, thank you for your music. You have very, very beautiful music that helps a lot of people through pain and suffering and hard times, and also brings them a sense of peace, even if they're just going to work or whatever. So pretty much it's just a thank you for your inspiration.
Well, Quiana, thank you. Thank you for those kind words. I like to hear that. It makes me feel good and know that, you know, I'm on my right path, and that's nice to be validated. So thank you so much.
Well, that is Michigan. Very interesting little singing, sir. I'm from Michigan, too. And I, too, am a healer. So this has been a wonderful evening. This is time for us to close it up, guys. I want to thank Mary Youngblood for being our honored guest. Oh, my God, Mary, you wouldn't believe the comments and the text. Everybody's just loving you.
Quiana, thank you for having me. This is great. Anytime, I'd be more than happy to come back. You know, let's do this every few months or so.
Oh, how wonderful. How exciting.
Yeah.
Does everybody got that? I would also like to thank our audience participants. I'd like to congratulate our winner tonight of the CD. I wish I had won the CD, but I can't play. remind them, now, next week, our guest is going to be Arsalan Iftikhar. Arsalan is the National Legal Director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, CAR, CAR. And that's the nation's largest American Muslim civil rights and advocacy group. CAR is based in Washington, D.C., and Arsalan Iftikhar is going to be talking to us about the alleged video of a Marine singing about the slaying of an Iraqi family, which is currently under investigation, among other reported abuses and atrocities in Iraq. I would also like to thank our producer, Peace Lover. I would like to thank all of our admins, and I would especially like to thank Carrie Minaj, who is our technical support, for all of his assistance and for playing the lovely music we were privileged to hear tonight, Mary. Mary, thank you very much for being here. And we're going to be ending with our theme song. And please join us again next week with The People Speak. And we'll be speaking to Arsalan Iftikhar next week.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the sea, by the relief of the I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering how this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest, the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.